says the nation is grappling with a health crisis with doctors leaving the profession. Democrats are pushing legislation that mandates access to contraception, allows women to travel across state lines for abortions, and protects doctors who continue to provide the procedure. More than a day of rebellion leaves Vladimir Putin's 23-year reign in Russia more uncertain than ever. Former U.S. ambassador to Russia, Michael McCall, says this turmoil shows the weakness in Putin's power.
When you have one armed force threatening to go to war with another armed force and they're both supposed to be loyal to you, that's bad for Vladimir Putin.
President Biden has spoken with Ukrainian President Vladimir Zelensky and Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau about the weekend's events in Russia. White House said Sunday that the leaders affirmed their unwavering support for Ukraine against Russian aggression. Florida Governor and GOP White House hopeful Ron DeSantis will unveil his plan to, in his words, stop the invasion on the southern border. DeSantis will be in Eagle Pass, Texas, to share details of his immigration policy. It comes as an NBC News poll released yesterday shows former President Donald Trump leading DeSantis by almost 30 points in the 2024 Republican primary. Michael Kastner, NBC News Radio.
Get organic favorites at Whole Foods Market. Buy two organic large Hass avocados for just $5 with Prime through June 27th. Add it to your summer salad or mashed on toast for a midday pick-me-up. While supplies last, shop in-store or online. Terms apply.
And let's go ahead and take a look now to Alternative Talk weather outlook for Monday. Well, we'll see mostly sunny skies today. High temperatures around 75, 76 degrees. Tonight, partly cloudy skies. Low temperatures dropping down to about 56. For Tuesday and the rest of the week, partly to mostly sunny skies. High temperatures in the mid to upper 70s with partly to mostly clear skies through the overnight. Low temperatures in the mid to upper 50s.
This is Dr. Kay Mahina in Trump, inviting you to tune in on Monday on 1150 KKNW at 5 p.m. to Dr. Kay's Attuning to Your Abundance, where we honor everyday abundance through positive messages, poetry, music, affirmations, and writing exercises. For more information, contact Dr. Kay Workshops at gmail.com or Facebook Dr. Kay's Abundance.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Basile and Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to Inflection Point Podcast, where we cultivate change from the inside out as we ponder the Cairo question. Will Cairo have to protest in his lifetime for the birthright to freely and peacefully exist in the skin in which he was born? We stand on the belief that dismantling racism goes beyond laws and legislation or politics and economics. Here, anti-racism activation is presented as an inside job where personal transformation and accountability impact social change. So take a seat at the anti-racism activation table with Inflection Point Podcast.
Well, hello, and welcome to the newest episode of Inflection Point Podcast, where we are dedicated to the art of listening and authentic conversation. We challenge our audience to listen actively and intentionally for the purpose of self-awareness, understanding, and ultimately personal transformation. I'm your host, Anita Russell, and here's a hello from co-hosts Mavis and Gail.
Hi there, I'm Mavis Bauman. Welcome.
Hi, I'm Gail Hunter, and welcome to tonight's program.
Excellent, excellent. So if you've been following us for the last episode or so, you know we've introduced this new topic. And that new topic is generational leaders, historical and contemporary. And the question that we're focusing on is, how does the Ghanaian principle of Sankofa empower generational leadership? So we're doing a series under the umbrella title of the Sankofa Generational Leadership Continuum. And the way I define that is this way. The Sankofa Leadership Continuum is a through line that runs from historical leaders of the past to contemporary leaders of the present to those who will emerge as future leaders, melding together historical and contemporary reality. This through line inspires activism, art, literature, ethnography, and research to fuel transformation. So I have two quotes from you from Nelson Mandela. The first one says, for to be free is not merely to cast off one's chains, but to live in a way that respects and enhances the freedom of others. And then secondly, education is the most powerful weapon which you can use to change the world. And so when I think about those two quotes coming from Nelson Mandela, who is one of our past leaders, and the impact that he had on the world, not just in the work that he did specifically in South Africa, but he impacted the whole entire world. So I like that idea of living in a way that respects and enhances the freedom for yourself, but also for the freedom of others. And when I think about this idea of Sankofa leadership, that really resonates with me. So we are very blessed and very fortunate, and I'm so incredibly happy to have a special guest with us today. His name is Mr. Jaquan Lavender. He is one of those contemporary leaders that I'm talking about and thinking about as I unwind this thing called the Sankofa Leadership Continuum. He is the founder of the Jaquan Lavender Foundation in Steubenville, Ohio, and I met him totally at random. He had a job where he was working in downtown Pittsburgh. We're in Pittsburgh right now. And my office was right around the corner from where he was working. And I decided one day that I wanted to go check out this. It was a private club. And I thought I wanted to go check out this private club. And lo and behold, when I got there, I met Jaquan Lavender. And I was just so immediately impressed with who he is, how he speaks, how he carries himself, and the way that he talks about the work that he does. Not that work where he was in this space of doing this membership thing, but the work that he does outside of that. Because that work is what is contributing to the Sankofa continuum of leadership that we're talking about here. So Jaquan, why don't you say hello and just give us a quick understanding of who you are, like what is your personal story?
Yes, so thanks for having me on the show. My name is Jaquan Lavender, the president of Jaquan Lavender Foundation, where Jaquan Lavender Foundation is Journey to Gold. So where we got the Journey to Gold was me pertaining to my journey to the Olympics, chasing a gold medal. So I made a hashtag on social media called The Journey to Gold Continues. So we actually added that into the foundation, and we broke it down into an acronym where it's Great Opportunity List Dreams. And we apply that to opportunities as in helping young men, helping young women in our community, serving adults, anyone that needs to be served. That's our opportunity to list someone's dream. But how I got started was my Olympic dream in track and field. I didn't make it to the Olympics for track, but I made the rookie team for Winter Olympics for skeleton. So it was a different twist in my journey, but, you know, very, very great journey. But I'm no longer an athlete. Always the athlete at heart, but no longer an athlete. Just, you know, full-time servant for God and just serving my community.
So tell me a little bit more about how did you even get to that place of going out for the Olympics? Like, what is that story that really defines who Jaquan as an individual actually is?
2012, when I seen the Olympics in high school, the Rio Olympics, I believe it was London Olympics. And I seen that people were running around the track just like I do for a certain amount of time and win a gold medal. And I was like, I love the concept of that. So that very night, I went on a long run with my brother, and it's this big hill called Sunset. And it's like a long steep hill, I believe, for like a mile and a half. And I remember like running that hill that night just motivated. And I carried that Olympic mindset from high school to college into when I got to the actual professionals. So I was different, and I never understood why I was different until I got older. And, you know, people will call me weird or will call me a punk because I never wanted to hang out with them. And, you know, they would be the ones that say, oh, let's go hang out with your girls. I'm like, nah, I'm going to just go home. And then you can only imagine what they would say about me. But I would never let it bother me. I would just shake it off. And I just never knew until I got to this point. And I was like, it makes sense. And those same people that call me weird are the same people that's reaching out like, how can I get like you? How can I help you? How can I help you mentor these young men? And now I'm mentoring them because they're watching me. So it's funny how things come back in full fruition. So,
Excellent. So when you think of leadership, do you see yourself within that context of leadership? And if the answer is yes, at what point in your life did you really begin to see yourself as a leader?
Definitely high school. Carrying the whole track team since sophomore year, I played a big role in my coach would be like, you're that guy. You're the fastest runner that I have, and you have the grit and you have the grind. And when you come here and work, they're going to follow you. Mm-hmm. So once I started getting to my senior year, that's when everyone really started to follow me. Like, hey, I want to be like you. I said, don't be like me. You know, when I'm gone from this team, be better than me. Break my records. Don't be like Jaquan Lavender. Only Jaquan Lavender can be like Jaquan Lavender. You can't be like me. So once I got off to college, it got better. And then once I got to professionals, it got 10 times better. But I just always watch, the best of the best. I've been around the best of the best. I've been around Nike athletes, world record holders, Michael Johnson, LeSean Merritt, English Gardner. I've been around the best of the best. The only thing different is they have the accolades. I didn't have the accolades. And, you know, I always said, you cut their skin and you cut my skin. There's no difference, just the awards. And we know that awards don't matter. It's just, you know, who are you? Who are you truly? What is your character? What is your integrity? That's what people remember, not your awards.
Yeah, so Mavis and Gail, your thoughts or comments on what you're hearing so far from Jaquan?
Yeah, I mean, I love how you allowed yourself to just be present enough to grow and to be patient enough, right? And to not be too judgmental and critical. And I'm sure you were to some extent. I always felt like an alien in my family, so I totally get what you're feeling. And I probably am just to many extent. But you listen to something inside of you and that intuitive voice inside, which is so crucial for anyone, for all of us. And that's what then became what was really supporting you and becoming that leader that you are today. So, I mean, I honor you because that's just incredible.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're doing. Yeah.
So did you see yourself as a leader before coach who said, if you run, they'll follow you? Did you have leadership in your head, or did you even think about it? Sometimes we get pushed to the front, whether we intend or not. Is that what happened?
I did to an extent. I was used to being in the spotlight from a kid to now, which sounds very weird. I just felt like as a kid, I've been being watched. Like, people will always watch me closely and criticize me closely. And once I got to high school, like I was saying, he seen something inside of me. I didn't really see it until he said it. So it takes the right person to bring it out of you. So once he brought it out of me, I began to get confident every year. And then once my senior year, I was the man. Just sorry to say, like, I was the man.
Yeah. You had to own it, yeah.
Well, that, and they speak that faith into you. I'm sure that's what you're doing with the people that you work now.
Right.
You recognize, I love the words grit and grind, and then being around the best. You know, I am to a large part because of who I've been around, like my podcast mates here. You know, you become elevated that way. And it sounds like, you know, you're just doing that in a 360 way. So well done. I just love hearing your story.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so you still had to own it, don't you? You still had to get to a place where you could own that this is who I am, right? And then step into that even more so. But sometimes we all need that mirror of somebody saying to us, I see this in you. And you do that with the kids you probably work with, right? The teenagers and the young adults. What your coach saw in you, right? And maybe in a different area, different part of who they are, you see it.
When I think about this conversation that you are engaging in right now, and we're having this conversation about leaders, I think it's very, very common that people, let's just think about Harriet Tubman. Everybody knows the work that Harriet Tubman, leading the Underground Railroad, but I would be willing to bet that she never really thought about herself as a leader as she was doing what she was doing. So I think it's really interesting when people are called to do a certain thing that it isn't until somebody points it out, like what Jake Bond is just sharing, that somebody else points out that you're behaving like a leader or you're showing leadership potential. Because oftentimes the person is doing what they've been called to do. And then eventually it becomes defined as you have the influence and people are listening to you, people are willing to follow you, but we don't necessarily see ourselves or define ourselves in that type of definition. Sometimes it just takes somebody else to see it within us.
You mentioned, Jaquan, when you're younger that you were always kind of being noticed, but not necessarily in a positive way. You felt more criticism, or
positive and negative. I would go with the negative first because like I was saying that they wanted to go hang out with their friends. Right. Yeah. It was a good environment to go hang out with, or they wanted to go hang out with girls at the time, which wasn't much good. They weren't doing things that were in my interest. So when I knew something wasn't right, I will always feel like, hey, I'll sit at home, I'll play the PlayStation until y'all come back. It's not going to bother me.
Mm-hmm.
But a positive and a good note, people just knew something was in me.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm saying, like, you special. Because they always say the way you smile.
Oh,
I have $1 million smile.
Yeah.
And I couldn't see it. And it reminds me about Moses. When Moses was like, when Jesus came to him in a burning bush, and when he said, who should I tell him sent me? And he said, I am. But Moses had a speech impediment, so he stuttered when he talked. So he already felt like he wasn't qualified. But God qualified him before he knew he was qualified. So when he went to go free the people, just think about that, a nation. That's millions of people.
One nation.
Right. No one did that. So when we look at Martin Luther King, one man changed the world.
Yeah, that's right.
This is a rights movement. So
it just takes one to start it.
That's it.
And your programs that you have are so, I mean, they could be a template for every city. I mean, it's just, you have to talk about it and share what they are, because it really is pretty amazing what you've created.
Oh, yes. So we created.
Hey, Jaquan, before you go into that, I really want you to talk a little bit more about the role that your faith plays in the work that you do. Because you mention it multiple times over the course of us getting to know one another, I knew right from the very beginning, this is a man of faith. So can you talk a little bit about how your faith plays a role in what you are currently doing? And then we'll follow up with Gail's question to kind of start digging into what you do at Journey for Gold.
Mm-hmm. Faith plays a big role in my life. We know without God and the Holy Spirit, we won't be able to do what we do, because he gives us the wisdom, the knowledge, the strength to do what we do every day. And, you know, the Bible verse says, it's because of him that I live, I move, and I have my being. So without him, we can't do nothing. And David said the best in Psalms. He said, I look to the hills, which come my help, because all my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. So we know that my help comes from the Lord. And now he got me on the rant. Now he
that's okay. That's
on the Bible. He said, I will look up because, you know, every good and perfect gift coming from above. So I just need to look up and, you know, just keep God at the forefront, because God is person who could be against me.
Mm-hmm.
And when we met, that was, like I said, that was one of the very first things that I recognized within you, and then all the subsequent conversations that we had over the course of us, you know, becoming friends and all of that, that's the one thing that I was often found most impressive about you, because from there flows everything else that defines Jaquan. That's how I see it. Excellent. So as a follow-up to Gail's question, because she started leading into, so what do you do and how do you do it with the journey to gold, and how did the foundation even really come into existence? Can you tell us about what that journey looked like?
So 2020, we started the foundation. I was strictly training for Olympics at that time. And I remember 2019, before I left college, I'm a late thinker, and God dropped in my spirit, Jaquan Lyon Foundation, and I locked that note. But in my head, I'm like, I don't know what to do with a foundation, but I knew I always wanted to help people. So the next year, 2020, a lady came to me, Miss Sandy Rule, who's a family friend. She said, God gave me a vision that we're going to start a foundation in your name, and we're going to raise $100,000. So I thought back, like, wow, that was the note I saved. And I'm like, it's really true. So we established the foundation in 2020 of July, and actually established completely on my granddad's birthday. Mm-hmm. And he died in 2018. So we were like, wow, this is amazing. So once we continued the foundation, we had meetings, but like I said, I didn't know what to do, and I was just so focused on training for the Olympics. And 2021 or 2022, my mom called me and was like, hey, it's time to come back home. And this was the time I was in Houston training. And I was like, for what? She said, it's time to get this foundation going. And I was like, nah, I don't want to come back to Stormville. I love it here in Houston. You know, I'm training. I was just steps away from the Olympics. And she like, it's the time to come home. So I end up getting COVID really bad, which forced me to come back home.
Mm.
So if I would have listened, I probably wouldn't have got sick.
Listen to your mama.
I got sick really bad and was down and out for like 2 to 3 weeks. Mm. And once I got over that sickness, just boom, everything just started clicking for the foundation. And I started building a board team. I actually had a job at LA Fitness, and I met a guy named Randall Lucas, and he was traveling from Maryland back and forth at the time. And I was telling him, like, I'm about to leave this job and focus on my foundation. He said, man, let me hear about it. So just like I did my spill at Rivers Club in Missinita, same thing I did. And he was like, man, that's a good vision. And he's been on my board team since. And that's like my right hand, man. He's always helping me out. And now we're in the high school here in Stormville, the middle school. We actually just had a meeting with the school district in Houston, Texas, and we're looking to serve about 64,000 kids for our program. We're looking to serve at Point Park University now. So it's a lot of different things that's happening now that if you told me this 3 years ago, I would have looked at you like, yeah, right. I wanted to break the world record. I wanted to be a Nike athlete. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to be a gold medalist, and that was my three goals.
Mm-hmm.
And I really wasn't trying to hear nothing other than that. And it took God to really sit me down, like, listen, mm-hmm. it's not for you. Like, I loved it. I love track and field. I love the passion. I loved the feeling of, you know, exhausting myself. I love the feeling of going overboard. And that's what made me mentally strong. But mm-hmm. I went on a fast, and I told Miss Anita, I went on a fast, and I said, God, if the Olympics for me, let your will be done. If it's not, let your will be done. So I fasted for a week. I didn't hear nothing. And the very last day of the fast, I woke up, and I was about to go train, preparing for breakfast. He said, you can't compare a gold medal to a gold crown. And I was like,
yeah, can't turn that one down.
I couldn't say nothing after that.
Right.
So, you know what? I said, I'm done. That was the answer I was waiting for.
Yeah.
But what did I say?
Wow.
So yeah. After that, that's when I officially retired. Wow. It hurt. Like, I cried in silence.
Wow.
I was frustrated.
You had to grieve, right? You were grieving for so long. You had to grieve the loss of that then.
Yeah.
How much you knew you were going in a different direction, right?
oh, if I would have knew that 4 years ago, I would have been like, we could just end it now. I didn't want it to come to an end. I always wanted to do this for, if I could, a lifetime, but wasn't in his plan.
So, Jaquan, can you talk a little bit about how, because we're going to be taking a break shortly, and in the next segment, I'd really like you to dig a little bit deeper into your foundational principles and objectives and all that sort of thing. But can you talk a little bit about why or how you would think you think you were led in the direction of dealing with youth in particular?
It's because I can relate very closely to them, not because of age, because I've been through it. Like I've seen my closest friends die in the street. I've been to parties that was very inappropriate at a young age when I was in sixth grade. I've been around people that smoke weed. I've been around it all, and I've seen it all. And there was times that I wish I never seen it, but it was the reason why I seen it now, because I can go back to these neighborhoods and be like, hey, you know, smoking weed, you only gonna fit a short amount of time in your life when you're doing that. And, you know, people are shooting up fentanyl and everything now. But I had to really understand the gang life, because we called ourselves gang members when we were in fifth and sixth grade, and it was about 30 to 40 of us, and we were go to Walmart and steal and fight at the movie theaters and get chased by the cops, hopping fences. And you would never expect that from me, but I've seen it all and I've been through it all. And then, you know, this little small town Steubenville is not helpful. You have people in the small town syndrome mindset where they just stuck. They just feel like this is it. And they don't want to grow. And then once someone like me come around, they're looking like we get it, but we actually don't get it, because it's going out one ear and out the other. So it's about reaching the right crowd, and if they opposed to it, oh well, and the people that want to hear it, they'll hear it.
They'll stick, yeah, that's right.
Mm. That's a really powerful way of expressing it, because that's how I feel in the anti-racism work that I do. I feel like my role is to put that information out there to give people the opportunity to broaden their own understanding of some of the issues and the problems that are related to inequity and racism and things like that in this country. But at the same time, I'm not here to try to force it on people. I'm not here to argue about it or debate about it. I'm looking for those individuals who take what I say and are ready to use that as a way for them to make a choice as to what kind of action do I want to take in this resistance process. Because when everything that you just said and this whole conversation about leadership and all of that, that's exactly the choice that you made. What am I going to do? What kind of action am I going to take as part of the resistance to break down some of those strongholds in our communities? Things you mentioned, like the drug issues and the gang issues and that resultant violence and all of that. Everybody gets to make a choice as to how am I going to deal with that? Am I going to accept that and just kind of go with the flow of that because I can't see anything else? Or am I going to convince myself that there is something else and that I need to break away from that stronghold to be able to do something different in my life? So I think we have about two more minutes. Gail, Mavis, before we go to break, any comments on where the conversation is in this moment?
Jaquan, I think you just said something in an interview I just listened to, actually, where you said there's always something next. There's always something else. Don't have the belief that the situation you're in now is all there will ever be. Do I characterize your words right? That there is a way to grow. There's a way to change. There's a way, you know, like through your mentorship, through the programs you have for kids. It's a whole different world that you introduce them to.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just thought that was really poignant because often, you know, I remember being, you know, in high school and the smallest thing, you think the world has just ended. So when you've got people with the flashlight like you, you know, pulling people along, speaking faith into them, it's just so powerful. And even if they don't get it right then, they've got it in them somewhere. They'll hear your words, you know, at some point.
Yeah, and don't ever underestimate that moment that imprinted you.
Right.
I mean, even if they can't do anything with it, you have found out, it's still there. And whenever they're ready, it will get activated.
Yeah, exactly.
Let those 10 follow you. Yeah.
We're going to take a very, very break at this point. But, Gail, I want you to, and I'm sorry I had to interrupt you, but I'm just trying to keep the timing flowing correctly. So hold that thought. Okay, so that when we come back after the break, we can continue the conversation.
Have you been on life's roller coaster trying to figure out what to do next? Then join Greta, Lee, Yvonne in the Realm of Being each Friday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Take the dust off your wings and fly to the highest heights in your thoughts and actions. Express your greatness. Be a champion for yourself, and we'll see you there on Shifting Impressions Conversations with the Realm of Being.
Imagine what it would be like to turn your pain into purpose. Tune in to Transformation with Martinet every second and fourth Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Martinet and her guests are here shining their lights today through empowering stories of hardship and transformation. Begin to see your life in a new light. Visit MartinetEmmons.com and tune in every second and fourth Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific to Transformation with Martinet.
Hi, everyone. Dr. Pat here, host of the Dr. Pat Show. For about 20 years, you've heard me talk about silver and the importance of silver. I've been looking upside down and sideways to find silver that was the highest quality, and I think I've found it. No, actually, I know I found it. I discovered this in my own healing journey, and that's what we use for me. Emeo Life has the most advanced silver available today. All things that harm our health is what it takes care of. Now, I thought I'd seen it all because I've been on this journey for 20 years with silver, but I've not quite found anything like Emeo Life. The folks and our friends at Emeo Life have put together a special discount for your first purchase of 20% off. AmioLife.com. AmeoLife.com. Remember to give them a call. Tell them Dr. Pat sent you at 1-800-422-8148. I've already sent it to my naturopath.
What are you connected to? Or what are you disconnected from? Tune into the Connected Conversation with Brett Hill on TTRLives.com and learn how to avoid unnecessary suffering and activate your mind-body connection. Step into a life that works for you. Flourish and express our natural creativity and exuberance as you learn how to look deep within and find your natural allies and connect authentically with yourself, others, and the world. To learn more, visit theconnectedconversation.com.
Welcome back. You are listening to Inflection Point Podcast on Transformation Talk Radio, and I'm so happy to just kind of go back to the conversation that we were having with our featured guest, Mr. Jaquan Lavender, a contemporary leader and founder of the Jaquan Lavender Foundation in Steubenville, Ohio. So before we went on break, Gail was about to make a particular comment about some things that we were discussing. So, Gail, I want to give you the opportunity to finish out your thought.
Okay. I think it was talking about how, based on what you were saying about, yeah, you can say something to somebody, but if they can't hear it in that moment in time, they're not going to. But somebody might, and someday they also might remember that you said that, so don't ever doubt the imprint that you leave on somebody. Even if they act like you know nothing, you don't know anything about what they're going through, right? And even though you know that you do. So it's always important to remember that and that there's always a door open, as you said, especially with the young people that you're working with. You know, you remember back when you were 10, 11, 12 years old and where you were in that moment in time and where you are now. I mean, that's a huge transformation that you chose to allow to happen in your life. And you did choose. As much as you were choosing the Olympics, you then all of a sudden had a different choice presented to you, right? And you made another transformation in your life. And that one obviously is helping many kids, you know. There's always another option, another choice. I can say the same thing to 10 people. They'll hear it differently, or they'll hear it whenever they're ready to hear it.
Right. Jaquan, do you share a lot about your personal experience with the kids that you mentor?
I do. You know, recently I started to open up about my suicide issue and started seeking it out to college. Since we're on the air, I'll tell you about it. In 2016, when I was at Pittsburgh University in Pittsburgh, I had a lot going on. I was injured. Me and my coach was in a bad fallout, so I was in the process of transferring. I had a 1.8 GPA, and it just felt like everything I worked for just fell apart in just one day. So I ended up going back to my room, and luckily my roommate and his girlfriend was there. I said, "You got a knife?" He said, "For what?" I said, "I'm about to commit suicide." And then their mouths just dropped like, huh?
Oh, my gosh.
I feel like that was the hardest I ever cried in my lifetime for like 30 minutes. I remember I was depressed for a week. I stopped going to class. I stopped going to practice. I was just sitting in the dark. I was just laying in the dark. I didn't want to be bothered. It was probably one of the lowest points of my lifetime. But I started to go back to church more, and I feel like every time I went to church, the pastor was just speaking right to me. I'm like, how do you know? How do you know what I'm going through? And it was just very good that, you know, that God was still working on me. He was still developing me. And, you know, once I started opening up more about that situation, people would, you know, be like, wow, I really commend you for speaking up about that, because it's not an easy topic. It took me years to get comfortable talking about that. And, you know, a lot of people just think that what I went through as far as the Olympics, they think I had the golden path or the golden boom my whole life. And that's actually the hardest path, because you have to face so much adversity, you know, opposed to family members saying that you're not going to make it, and friends that, you know, don't support you, and they just feel like, you know, reposting your picture or something to support, which is support, but, you know, we need to do better than that if that's what they call support. So, you know, a lot of adversity made me into who I am today.
Well, Jaquan, I just want to thank you for being and having the courage to open up and share your story, because to a great extent, that's what the work that I do, the work that Gail, Mavis, is all about, giving people that space to be able to share openly and honestly what their story is, particularly when there's a triumphant message embedded in that story as well. So I thank you very much for sharing that. But I'd like to gear the conversation in a different direction. Now, the Jaquan Lavender Foundation is kind of based on this journey of gold, which I look at as a philosophy. And GOLD is actually an acronym for Great Opportunities, List, Dreams. So can you talk about what that means to you, this idea of great opportunities lifting dreams, and how did that then become this foundation that you're a part of, and maybe even discuss some of the objectives of Journey to GOLD?
Well, our main mission, as I explained, is to really to build prudent men and prudent women in life. I take prudence from King Solomon in Proverbs. He talked a lot about the prudent man and the foolish man. And we know that the prudent man was the wise man. He would take heed to wisdom, to counseling. He never would disregard it. But the foolish man would disregard everything. So my job is to really get these guys to understand that when someone's talking to you, listen. Even if you understand at the moment, just listen. You know, everyone wants to be quick to speak but don't want to be listening, which they miss the point. So we have to really get these guys to understand that, you know, when someone's talking, sit still for a second. You'll be okay. Don't look at your phone. You're not missing nothing on social media, I promise. I my biggest thing is, you know, manhood and fatherhood, and I think that's the difference between my program between Steubenville, Pittsburgh. You know, a lot of people talk about the life skills and the typical things, which is great, but you need to get to the root of things, and the fatherhood and manhood is the biggest thing. And I was just talking to someone a couple of days ago, and I said, man, there's a lot of men in this world that are sorry. And I said they're sorry because, sorry I'm about to say this, they want the pleasure for 15 to 20 minutes with a woman, but they don't want the responsibility. So now that's a man in a boy's body.
Yeah.
So now he has a kid, but he can go to the club and spend $5,000. But when a kid needs $20, he opposed to it. He got a car that's $400, and the rims is $5,000. But the mother needs child support.
Mm-hmm.
So now you got an attitude because the woman needs help. So these are the issues that we do. Mm-hmm. You got men 30, 40, 50 playing video games all day. The woman going to work.
Mm-hmm.
Why is she doing a man's job? And God created her to be a woman and not a man. She is not supposed to be two roles at one time.
Mm-hmm.
A man is supposed to be there in the house. You can show tough love, but tough love only going to get somewhere. Tough love is, that's played out. You got to really sit down and say, hey, son, what can I do for you? How can I be a son? How can I help you? How do you feel mentally? A lot of fathers don't do that because they're prideful. And I'm teaching my guys, don't be prideful, because when you become a father, you really going to have to sit down and really learn your child. People think they know their child, but they really don't.
Okay.
And, you know, your tone and your voice, that matters. And just saying I love you goes a long way.
Yeah.
And if you think, a lot of young men join gangs because they need that affirmation. With it, God said, when Jesus got baptized by John the Baptist, he said, my well-beloved son, who I'm well pleased, he affirmed him. So now I can't even imagine how Jesus felt. He probably looked up to heaven like, it's time. So when you say something like that, I love you, son, it makes a man feel like, oh, I can do this. It's something about a man's presence. We know our mother going to be there. That's a natural love that we know that we all need a mother's love. But it's something about when your father is there, you like, yeah, I can really do this. Like, say if someone was in the weight room and they had to do 100 push-ups and they got to 90 and they're like, I'm tired. But as soon as you hear your dad's voice, you can do it, son.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you can do an extra 20.
Mm-hmm.
You feel invigorated. You feel like, oh, yeah, this is it. So this is what I'm saying, that fatherhood is missing, manhood is missing, and I'm teaching boys to become men, and not just men, but prudent men, because we're missing a lot of gentlemen. We're still young-minded. You can be old, you can be 60-year-old with no wisdom, and that's just to be honest. I've been around them. And it's sad to say, they always sit in the barbershop saying, oh, if I would have did this, or
always.
And I always tell my guys, don't be that. Don't be the barbershop man. I said, there's a barbershop man versus the blueprint man. If you go into the barbershop, you're going to tell these kids about the blueprint. The blueprint is you're going to make it out of Steubenville and you're going to be successful. Don't be the barbershop man that sits there for hours drinking a pop and eating a fish sandwich saying, oh, back in my day, if I was your age, I would. That stuff don't matter no more. You're not helping no one become better. So if I went to the barbershop, I'm going to say, gather around, let me tell y'all something. I did all this, this, and this, and this, and I tell you all this because you can do it too.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm from Steubenville, I walk the same halls in Hardin Middle School, Steubenville Big Red. I went to a small Division II school. I went to a small NAIA school. Think about how the odds are against me. I'm in a percentage where they like, you're not going to make it out because you're from a town of 18,000.
Right.
I took that and I said, okay, I'm going to prove you wrong. And now I'm in the 5% because I made the USA rookie team. I got to sit in rings with record holders, gold medalists, people that you were just mind-blowing. It blew my mind. And I had to act professional because I was being a fanboy at the moment. But I can't be a fanboy. I got, like, I've been here.
Yeah. You got
I say all that to say that my program was strictly to develop prudent men and to be strong men, because when I'm long and gone, someone's going to have to carry this program. Mm-hmm. Just like when David said, before he died, he talked to King Solomon, 2 Kings, he said, show thyself a strong man. Before he died, show thyself a strong man. So I'm telling, before I go, before this program is all said and done, young men, show thyself strong men, prudent men. You can do this.
So having said that, Jaquan, one of the things that really kind of popped out at me as I was reading over the objectives and everything is this, I think it's one of the objectives, the professional imaging, the brand of you. So can you talk about that, share with our audience what that is?
Yes. So the brand of you is me. So I am the professional image. So if they see me, so I'm going to use two different examples. If they see me like the modern day rapper, a white T-shirt, sagging my pants, and $3,000 pair of shoes, Louis Vuitton, and I'm like, oh, I want to be like that because he's the one leading us and I want to follow him. But if I come in with a suit, a nice clean suit, a nice shave, nice haircut, presentable, that's the man I want to be. So it all ties in, because when you are the leader, they want to mimic you. The way you talk, the way you speak, the way you walk, everyone's watching you. So the way I bear myself, I always go in with a suit at the high school, even though it's just a good hour to talk with them, I still show myself in a suit because I want them to see that this is what success will look like. You got to dress for success. So that's the brand of you.
Oh, I just want to sneak in here. When we talked before the podcast tonight, you had mentioned something about bringing respect back.
Mm-hmm.
And just how you're teaching these young people to speak to adults. I am loving that. Can you just expand on that a little bit for listeners?
Yes, so that was a podcast I did like three or four weeks ago. And that, you know, kids don't have respect for their parents because they call their parents by their first names. Their parents' name were David or Michelle. They say, hey, Michelle, instead of hey, mom, or hey, David, or instead of saying dad. And it's sad because it's going both ways. It works both hands. They're comfortable with their parents because the parents want to be their best friend, which the parents should be the mentor instead of trying to be their best friend. I see it all the time here. The kids are going to the club with them, drinking, smoking weed.
Mm-hmm.
And I see it all the time on Facebook. They go on Facebook Live. They think it's funny. And it's actually not funny, because now we got these younger kids that's 20. They letting their little five-year-old cuss, and he know the whole dictionary of cuss words. And that's sad. Everybody laughing. Ha, it's not funny. Because now you're making that little boy into a monster. Because by the time he gets to 10, he's going to cuss out the whole family. And then you're telling him, you're going to be just like your dad. You ain't going to be nothing. You're going to go right to jail. You're going to go right to the streets. And you're going to end up dead like him.
It
hurts. Because you affirmed him with that. Now he think like, man, I'm just like my dad. And it's sad because now that you put those thoughts in his head, he becomes it.
Mm-hmm. Sad. You are changing and transforming the generational paradigm as a parent, as an adult, as a man, as a woman, whatever, right? You are really helping these young people do that. That's incredible.
I asked God, I said, God, yeah. I said, God, make me the modern day Paul. I'm not scared. I'm not worried about what
you're
doing. As long as I can be the light, well, not the light, but to bear witness for you.
Right.
Tell people about the light, which is Christ, that I'm
going to the light shine through.
Yep.
And what you're doing is speaking truth. Right?
Yes, ma'am.
You're willing to risk that vulnerability and tell them the truth.
Yes,
and what you have learned. Right? What you have done. You mentioned earlier something about 64,000 kids that you're reaching out to.
Yes, ma'am. So
I can't even do that math in my head, how you're doing it. You have a staff of 100. So how are you doing that?
That's the goal. We know that the district has 64,000 kids.
Ah.
We don't know how many we will get.
Yeah.
I'm sure it will be
thousands, probably.
Thousand. Yeah.
That's just wonderful. Let's make it 64 million. We've talked about just what's happening, especially to men in the world, the changes in our culture, and how you are reaching into these young boys in terms of defining manhood again for them. I just think that is so fabulous. We'll be watching you in the news.
Yeah. And you are that model that they need to have to look up to and learn from, right?
If
they
don't have a
role, you're being that, and those that are working with you are. This is incredible.
Mm-hmm. So, Jaquan, I want you to kind of project yourself into the future. And given the work that you're doing and this final, like, few minutes that we have, can you talk about where you ultimately want, what is it that you ultimately want to see, say, like 10 years from now? And you're looking back on the work that you've done with the foundation, the journey to goal. What are some of those things that you would like to see if you could project yourself into that 10 years from now? Here are some of the things that we have accomplished. Here is the difference that I've been able to make.
So my goal in 10 years to have the program in every state in the United States and eventually in the world. So, you know, maybe the first one that came to mind is like Dubai or somewhere, or Africa, somewhere like that, you know, but baby steps first, here in the United States. Definitely have centers almost in every state as well, because eventually when I'm older, I always tell myself, when I have a son, I'm going to teach my son everything that I learned. And he'll be the executive director of this foundation. So that's my goal, is to just prepare the way for my son that's going to be in this position one day.
Mm. And I'm glad you mentioned the idea of kind of multiplying this or duplicating it across multiple communities, because we've actually talked about replicating what you do in Steubenville in the city of Pittsburgh. So that's a conversation that you, Gail, and I in particular, but Mavis, although Mavis is in New Jersey, but just kind of having that conversation, because here's three people right here that, you know, the work that Gail does with the OMA organization, the, you know, I've shared with you that leadership development program for youth that I put together. And so there are these synergies. And that's what I like about the work that I see that's being done now in the anti-racism space and, you know, the personal transformation space and having these conversations, is that these synergies are being developed and linked together. And those synergies are what give us the power at that grassroots level to push up and uproot those things that have been holding us in bondage and captive for centuries.
Yes. And Jaquan, I mentioned to you that I have this organization that works with genocide survivors in Rwanda. I already thought about you and speaking to these young people, many of whom lost their parents. Mm-hmm. And so they weren't raised. They didn't have role models. And, oh, man, they would be transfixed by you, because they want to learn those things. They want to learn the respect, how to be in the world, how to speak, how to promote themselves and their skills, you know? Yeah, so we'll get you started in Rwanda.
Exactly.
Well, that'd be great.
Go to Pittsburgh.
Yeah, after Pittsburgh.
And you said at every other city, right?
Yeah.
Right. You
can
do it. You are doing it.
Thank
Absolutely.
You.
And ironically, though, what Mavis just talked about is this whole thing of her work in Rwanda. The organization, the woman that she's connected to, the name of her organization was Generations Impact. So it aligns so well with these conversations that we're having today, even though that organization came out of the ashes, if you will, of the genocide, but it was still this idea that we need to build up and pour into and nurture yes. young people today so that tomorrow these young people will be in a different space, a different conversations with one another, and that that will continue over the course of time. And hence this whole entire thing about this continuum of generational leadership.
Yeah.
So I think we have like maybe about five more minutes. So Jaquan, what are, three more minutes. Okay, three more minutes. Jaquan, what are those final things that you want to say to our audience, number one? And number two, what is your call to action? Call out your website, whatever information you want people to have so that they can actually take some action towards understanding more about your organization or even getting involved with your organization.
Mm-hmm. So I would say, since this came to my mind, if you need help, don't be afraid to speak up. You know, we all need some help in some sort of fashion. Number two, just, you know, just continue to learn every day. We don't know it all. I'm learning every day. I'm glad I'm learning every day. I'm glad I'm not a know-it-all because I know a lot of people that's like that. But if you're looking for a program, definitely reach out to me at JaquanLavenderFoundation.com, or you can email me at JaquanLavenderFoundation@gmail.com, or you can reach out to me on LinkedIn, Instagram, and Facebook, Jaquan Lavender.
Excellent. Jaquan, it has been an absolute pleasure every time I have the opportunity to talk with you. I'm just like refreshed and, you know, just ready to go out and conquer the world. So we're literally out of time. So to our audience, I'd like to leave you with this challenge quote from Nelson Mandela. It is in your hands to create a better world for all who live in it. So the question to you is this, meaning the audience, what are you willing to do to participate in creating a better world for all? This is the fundamental question in striving for equity. And so I want to thank you all, our guest, Jaquan Lavender, for joining us. And those of you who tuned in, I want to thank you, and we will see you the next time at Inflection Point Podcast here on Transformation Talk Radio. We are here every first and third Wednesday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, and we'll see you at the next episode.
Thank you for listening to Inflection Point Podcast, where our mantra is cultivating change from the inside out. The journey towards anti-racism and social change doesn't stop here. Truth, reconciliation, and healing come from ongoing, open, honest, and deliberate conversations. Continue to dive in and deconstruct your thoughts, ideas, and beliefs as we band together to manifest social change. Tune in to Inflection Point Podcast every first and third Wednesday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern. TransformationTalkRadio.com for more conversations about how we can cultivate change from the inside out.